are we doing this morning?
Well, thank you.
It always good to be at home. I always say that home is home. There's no better place than home. So when we do come, it's such a good time to be with our friends, yeah, brothers and sisters in Christ, who sent us out there in mission, in the dying missions out there, and covering us with prayer, so we appreciate it. I see a few new faces that I haven't seen, so I want to introduce myself. My name is Lerato, and I'm part of Israel Church. I've just been sent out on mission, and so on weekends we work with a lot of churches, ministering with the British churches. So now and again we do come and visit home. And it's always a privilege to be at home. Amen.
Amen.
Dave said to me on the phone on Friday, "Do I still know how to get to his way?" I said, "Yes, fortunately, I have a navigator. We'll find our way to church." Yeah. For church, so this morning, I have a word that we've just been preparing and praying over. And it's as if the Lord really wants to encourage his church. Really right now, in such a dire time that the world is facing, the challenges that we are facing. The title of the message is, "We are not poor in God's provision." We are not poor in God's provision. And I want to share a message that will hopefully help us see that the Church of Jesus Christ is not poor. The Church of Jesus Christ is not poor. We may have a lot of challenges, right? Lots of challenges that are out there. Challenges in our homes. Challenges with our finances. Challenges in our relationships. Some of us, emotional pain. Some of us, we have body pain from stress. Some of us are faced with delays. We're praying to God and asking God for breakthroughs, but this just seems to be delays. And we're asking God, and like, "You still around, Father?" When everybody else seems like they're prospering. And everywhere you go, you know when you're expecting a breakthrough, and everyone around you seems like things are happening.
Yeah.
You end up asking God, "What's happening? Are you still here?" You know, we are faced with disappointments daily. Right? Rejection. Amen? We're faced with loneliness. Some of us are quite lonely. We have people around, but we're lonely. Lonely people. We're wondering if people do understand us. And some unemployment. And the list goes on. The list goes on. But we are not empty, church. We are not empty. God has not left his church without help. God has not left his church without help. He has given us his Spirit, number one. The Holy Spirit. Wow. What would we do without the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ had to leave, and he says, "I leave you with something better." The Holy Spirit. And if I were here, you would continuously follow me in this big world. But he leaves us with the Holy Spirit. He's not left his church without help. He's also given us and joined us to his Son, Jesus Christ, who's died for our sins.
Yes.
Continuously dies for our sins. Continuously absorbs our sins. We can't live by knowing. It would be very difficult. We're continuously in sin. And he's given us something which I'm here to share about today, the gifts. That each and every one of us here has a gift. Do you know that? You know, church, what I'm saying is that when I say we are not poor in God's provision, I'm not saying we will not face trials, that we will not face tribulation, that we will not face the needs that we have daily. I'm saying that God has not left his church. spiritually empty. He has given us, His Spirit has given us each other here. That we all have gifts. And He's placed us in one body so that we can care for each other. That's what the church is about. You see, in 1 Corinthians, and which is what we're going to be reading today. So we're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read all of it to get a context of what Paul was saying to us. So Paul writes to the church at that time. And so if we read 1 Corinthians today, we can still see that Paul is still talking to us. Till today, the church. Back then, when he was writing to the church was divided at that time. People had gifts, but these gifts were competing in the church, right? So what do we mean when we say gifts were competing? It's not like we compete with each other. But the gifts were not complementing the body, which is the church. But they were out there, and they were in competition. And some of them were tempted to measure spirituality by what seemed so impressive. You see, church, the problem here is that at that time is that God had given the church gifts. And these gifts were misunderstood. Right? Now, we all have gifts. And I fall into this category as well. The gifts do fall into the context of being misunderstood or misused. Right? And Paul was trying to help the church to see something in this gift. So each and every one of us here has a gift, whether it is the gift of administration, whether it's the gift of finances, whether it's the gift of wisdom, whether it's the gift of running a business, whether it's a gift of encouragement, whatever it is. Maybe you're a good cook here. Hallelujah. Maybe the coffee's good here and you just got the hand to make the good coffee. What Paul was trying to help the church see is that a gift, church, can be a platform for many of us. A gift can become a platform. We can use what God has given us to draw people to ourselves. To draw attention to ourselves. Right? And at times we can also use the gift to also protect ourselves. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we can use the gifts that we have to protect ourselves. At times we use money to guard us. Right? Yes, we put in security in our homes. Then we feel safe. We put insurance for our stuff, then we feel safe. Without all these things, at times we become anxious, and we become worried, as if God is not present with us. So, we can use these gifts to guard ourselves. We can also use these gifts to serve only ourselves. Me, my family. Amen. We can also look at what another person has and compare yourself with that person and say, I do not belong here. Or these people are a little bit of a higher, you know, magnitude. Therefore, I should not be in this category. And what Paul was also showing here was as well with the early church, this was also happening. You know, the Jews were the holy, you know, they were the ones where heaven will come down. Heaven will not come down outside of the Jews. And then there was also the Gentiles, right? And the Gentiles were seen as the lowly. Right? And so we see this as well with the church. You know, some people might come to this church, here's my church, or any church. And they might say, hey, there's a lot of Afrikaans people. I don't feel comfortable. Or it could be too many Zulus. They're too loud. I'm not sure if I can fit in. I'm not a guy. who sticks out. And so Paul was basically bringing this to us. That wow, the church has so many gifts, and we're so blessed. Different colors, different genders, different all of this thing. Right? We're so divided. So divided. You see, church, this was the problem. And Paul was trying to talk to his church, the church of Jesus Christ. And he was trying to bring them back to the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus Christ. The main thing is Jesus Christ. So the question I have for us today, church, is, has God's gift become a platform for your self-exaltation? Or are you using the Spirit's gift to serve a common good for the body of Jesus Christ? In other words, has what God given you placed you at a pedestal, at a platform that you've gotten to forget where the context of your gift needs to fit? Everything that God gives us has a context and has a design of where it should work, where it should be. So I'm going to start reading 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 26. It's quite a long read, but it will just help us paint the story. Are we ready? Verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. This is Paul talking to us. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one that manifests of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one they are given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different tongues and languages, and to another interpretation of these tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink from. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many parts. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that same reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpleasant are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part of it rejoices. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Powerful, right?
Yes.
Powerful. Church, true spirituality belongs to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
True spirituality belongs to Christ. When we read verse 1 to 3, you can go to verse 1 to 3. Paul begins by saying something to us. He begins by saying, now concerning the gifts. He says now, because previously, this was verse 11, this was the Lord's Supper, where Paul was talking to the congregation, the church, and saying that Jesus Christ broke bread. Jesus Christ gave us the wine, his blood, so that he shared this with us. But we as a church come to the church hungry. We come to the church in the full, and we come to the church eating and taking what we need and forgetting what the mandate of the church is, that we need to come together to break bread. So when he says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's calling us to something here. He wants to inform us about gifts. Because gifts can be misused and gifts can be misplaced and misunderstood. Before he lists one gift, before he speaks about healing, before he speaks about healing, before he speaks about prophecy, the things that the church wants, before he speaks about wisdom, before he speaks about faith and all these different gifts, he tells the church what true spirituality is. Verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can receive Christ outside of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, church. The first and deepest evidence of the Spirit's work is not an impressive experience. It's not a person's title. It's not a platform. It's not about the anointing. It's not about how loudly you can pray. It's not about the monies that you have. It's not about the businesses that you have. It's not about the number of children you have, whether you have a family or not. It's not about how many people follow you or how dramatically any moment can look like. The Spirit leads us to Jesus. The Spirit causes us to confess with our mouths, confess with ourselves that Jesus Christ is Lord and is living. So anything that manifests of the Spirit, what we see in it is the centrality of Jesus Christ. The Corinthians church then came from a pagan worship. Like some of us, we came from a pagan worship where they idolized mutant idols. They were idolizing mutant idols. They idolized things that could not speak. They idolized things that could not save their lives. They idolized things that could not guide them or lead them to anything. They idolized what God had given, but not the God who is the giver. But now they belong to the living God. This is what Paul is saying. So first you were pagan worshippers, but now, because of the Holy Spirit in you, you now belong to the living God. So the Holy Spirit reveals the truth, and the Holy Spirit reveals God's heart. He does not make much of us. This is what Paul calls us to. He says the Holy Spirit does not make much of us. The Holy Spirit makes much of Jesus Christ. You see, when we go to Acts 8, we probably have read in the story of Simon. So Simon sees Peter and John working, miraculous work, the work of the Holy Spirit is just moving. Right? And he sees these guys performing wonders and signs. The gift is moving and it's growing in them. And he wants to buy the power. Remember that story? When Simon wants to buy the power, he goes to Peter and John and says to them, "Can I offer you some money?" He wants to buy this power. He wants actually the results of the power. He wants the influence of this power. He wants the appearance of this power. Hallelujah. Some of us want the money, the appearance of it, the influence of it, the power of it, but we don't want God to gives it. So Simon is going to Peter and John, looking for this power, the appearance of it, without submitting himself to the Lord who gives it. See, church, what Paul calls us to here is that this danger still lives within us. That we want God's power without God's presence. You see, we can want the gift without surrendering to the giver. We want people to say, "Wow, what a blessed person. Wow, what a gifted person. Wow, what? How anointed is that person?" Rather than asking, "Did Jesus become more visible in this person's life? Did Jesus become more manifested in that person's life that you could see? Was someone strengthened from that person's life and their gift? Was God honored from that person?" See, church, the question here is not what gift I have. The question here is not, what do I have for me and my family? The first question is Jesus truly the Lord of my life? Does your service, each and every one of us, does our service point people to Jesus? Or does it quietly point people there to ourselves? When you lead at home, when you lead at church, when you lead at work, when you teach, when you give, when you encourage, when you serve, is your desire that Christ be seen? You know, church, we have to be honest, because Paul here is calling us to honesty as the church. The church is so rich and so diverse. But the church is the missing place that is currently suffering. And the world needs this church. Some of us may need to repent. This is what Paul is calling us to as a church. We need to sober up and repent from wanting the platform more than wanting the presence of God. Wanting God's hand more than wanting His presence. And others may need to be encouraged. You do not need to perform to prove that the Spirit is in you. If you belong to Jesus and you confess Him as Lord and Savior, you are not outside of His care, church. Or outside of His body. What Paul calls us to here is that true spirituality is aligned to Jesus Christ. And everything else must follow and remain under His lordship. It's His, church. You see, church, different gifts come from the same God. When we look at verse 4 and 6, we see this. Paul gives us a beautiful pattern. If we can look at verse 4 and 6, he gives us a beautiful pattern. He says there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all. Do we hear what Paul is saying to us? He's pointing us to something. He's saying that there are different gifts. He's saying that there are different workings. He's saying that there are different services. And then he says, but same God, same Spirit, same Lord. God does not make copies. Paul is pointing us to us and saying, God is not a photocopy. He does not make copies. In the body of Christ, there are different callings. There are different services. There are different functions there. One may teach. One may prophesy. One may have the gifting for finances. One may be a very prayerful person. One may show mercy. One may care for children. One may serve behind the scenes. One may bring honor when there's confusion in the church. These are not competing gifts. These all come from the same heart, the same God. And so when we see these manifested, we are seeing Jesus. We are not seeing Paul, Armando. We are not seeing David. We are seeing Jesus, Him manifesting through us as a church. So church, think about this. Think about a human body. You know, the scripture says that the hand does not do what the eye does. The eye does not do what the foot does. The heart does not do what the ear does. If I were to pick up water, my eye has to look at the water. My head has to move closer. My muscles have to function to lift. My mouth has to open to turn. Isn't this beautiful? And God says, I've given all of this here in this church. Not out there in the world. Yeah. In the church. In His church. The church family is not sustained by one person's gift. The church is not sustained by the pastor. The church is not sustained by one person. It is strengthened by the same God working through each and every one of us. So when we come to church, we are here to spend with each other. That's what we come here to do. So some of us may opt to pray before the service. And say, Father, I'm the person who loves praying. And you might want to opt yourself and say, I'll pray before the service. Some of us might want to prepare a room before the service. There are those who may want to welcome people at the door with a beautiful smile. There may be people here who want to give quiet. Ken was talking about it, to sustain the ministry, to keep the lights on, to be able to allow us all to be here. There may be people here who have a gifting to listen to people's pain. Some of us are not gifted pain. When we hear pain, we need to run away. My heart is this. It's very fragile. But some of us here can sit and have empathy. and compassion and listen. See, church, what Paul calls, is calling us to is not for us to withhold the gifts. That we must not come as a church withholding our gifts, but going out there in the world and operating in other places, but not in the body, where the body can be strengthened. The body needs you. Look at your neighbor, the neighbor's name. The body needs you. You are needed. You are important. See, church, comparison can either make you proud. Comparison can make you proud. Or it can discourage you. But the both of them forget who the source is. And the source is Jesus. If someone else in the church, if someone else where you are, is gifted differently, don't feel threatened. Paul is calling us, stop being threatened as a church. But rather say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we have a healer in the church, someone who gave you a Thank you, Father, that we have someone with the gift of administration in the church. Thank you, Father, that we have business people in the church. Thank you, Father, we have youth that can grow this church and we can be vibrant in this community and save lost souls. If their gift serves the body, church, it is provision for the body.
Amen.
And for those who are feeling a bit inadequate, do not dismiss the gift that God has placed in you, because it may seem ordinary. It may seem ordinary. It's not there. It seems ordinary. But I want you to know something. Do you know that faithful encouragement may keep someone from giving up? We've got people in churches who are committing suicide. And that encouragement could have been a difference for someone in the church. You know that hospitality may give a lonely person a home. Hospitality can make someone feel like they're home. You know, myself and the wife go to different places, and sometimes we don't feel at home. And where we feel at home again, because there's hospitality. Administration can make room for people to be cared for. There are people out there who feel uncared for. I remember someone close to my family who says, hey, I'm eating. And Zulian would say, we have a fancy person. What are you doing? Meaning that I am eaten upside down, as if I'm a beetroot. I feel uncared for. Everyone just takes from me, and no one considers me. But when I come to the church, administration can make that person feel cared
for.
Giving may meet a need that prayer has revealed. Time you keep praying and praying and praying as if God is going to bring this thing from the sky. Boom. Yes. But the person on the left and the right who has gifts, the Lord can lead us to that answer. A quiet prayer may prepare the ground for the word to bear fruit. Wherever we are, when we go to the shops, we pray for the ground. But Father, let there be food in this place. When we go to restaurants, we pray for where we sit. That God, may your word be here and live. Amen.
Amen.
Different gifts family come from the same God. This is what Paul is saying to us. All of these gifts come from the same God. Therefore, let us honor the giver. Let us honor the giver and honor each other. And not idolize the gift. that our eyes are fixed on Jesus and not on what he's given us. Church, again, we are not poor in God's provision. We're not. We are full in his house. We're not empty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Church, every gift is for the common good. If there's anything we read from this passage, the central emphasis is that a gift is for the common good. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Not just the Spirit, not just wisdom. Imagine wisdom when it's not manifested. Imagine a gift that you have but it's not manifested. It's useless, it's pointless. But he says here, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each gift is given to each, not only to pastors, not only to a selected few, not only to those with titles, not only to those with visible gifts, not only to the special few. But every gift is given for the common good. That's the centrality of our gifts. The centrality of our gifts is not what me, myself, and my family and I. The gift is for the common good. A gift, church, is not a trophy. It's not a trophy. Something that we put up there and say, look at me. And keep bathing it every 2 weeks and shining it. Look at my gift. But it's actually a tool for service. Paul is pointing us back to the context and the design. Do we see this, church? Yeah. He's constantly pointing us back. Because this gift one is a problem. You know, it's a challenge. When we are so gifted that we tend to run away and we go out in the world and we enjoy this thing. And then when things fall down, then we come back. This thing is actually a problem. I remember one actor in America made a lot of money. Not so much. And then he went up, I think, to the 12th floor and took out all his money from the bank. He said, give me all my money, cash. Go to the top of the roof and just ask me all. See, I don't want this thing anymore. There's something that I need. And today he's making Christian news, which is a beautiful thing to see. Because the source is to edify. Amen. Church, a gift does not prove that I am more blessed, that I'm more spiritual, that God has blessed me more than anything, more than the next person. But it is grace entrusted to you and me so that we can serve each other. You know, 8 years ago, I remember, I went, when I first got baptized by the Holy Spirit in a weird place, and when I shared the story with people, they say, no way, this is incredible. The Lord works all over, anywhere, wherever you are. And I was at a party, can you believe it? When I got baptized, I was at a party. So I walked into this restaurant. It was a maid's party there. And I was ready. You know when you're ready? You know when you're in your 20s and you're ready? I think I'm talking to elderly people. You know when you're ready, yeah? You're going to have a job. A good time. And I was ready. But once I was ready, the lustful desire of sin left. It just disappeared. And the conversations no longer were appeasing. You know when you're like, and people are keep checking on you, are you okay? And you say, I'm fine. But you feel like, no, I don't need to be like that. Something's wrong. Something's not. And I went to the bathroom to go, you know, recollect myself and cool down. And as I was sitting in the pew, I heard a song from far. And this song, my spirit could resonate with the song. You know when you never heard a song like that, it's doing something to me. I love this song. For some odd reason. But church, it happens that in that restaurant, it was a band today. And they were not launching their album. It was a worship band. Imagine. These guys are terrorizing. It was a worship band. Imagine in such a place. And they, you know, restaurants, you order this room, and it's like a glass room. And they sit there, and you have a private party with your cigars and your whiskey and have a good time, and you know, it's secluded. No, these guys were there, they were worshiping. So in the restaurant, you can hear a bit of jazz, but there you can hear worship. Man, I believe these people were there the whole day or everything. They were praying. And they were just worshiping, and they were launching their album. It wasn't in the church. It wasn't in somewhere. It was there. You know? And the Holy Spirit came on me, I'm convinced, because of that. And I'm sure that I was not the only one. He was touched. You see, church, the point was never that they should be noticed.
Yes.
That was not the point. The point was that that place was strengthened. That was the point. Church, what God has God put in your hands? What has God put in your hands? What capacity? What burden? What abilities? What experience? What resources? Or what spiritual gifts has God given you? Who is strengthened when you use it? Is the church strengthened? Ask yourself that question. If your gift ends with you, it's not used according to the purpose that Paul gives us. In verse 7, the common good. If your gift makes you look more important, but leaves the body uncared for, something is out of alignment. Paul is bringing us to this, he's calling us back to alignment. He's saying, guys, if this thing that God is giving you is placing you somewhere, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Perhaps God is calling you, church, to encourage someone. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to pray for someone. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to give. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to visit people in this church. You know, sometimes I feel like within the church we can play church. And we don't actually get to visit each other and see each other's homes and break bread with each other and know each other's families, not just names, but know the whole. That's the son, that's the daughter. Perhaps the Lord is leading you to start a small group. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to open up your home, to lead. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to serve the children in this church. Maybe you have an idea. Take the kids out on excursion. I don't know. We all have gifts and they work differently. Perhaps to use the wisdom here or in your workplace or with your family or community. Appoint church people to Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to win souls. That's how we're going to win souls. I think Dave would be dancing. Church, do not leave today saying, oh wow. No worries. Do not leave today and say, wow, that was a nice service. I think Paul is pointing us to this and saying, stop this. It's not a nice service. But ask the Lord, where can I strengthen you the body this week?
Amen.
If there's anything we really want today, is to ask ourselves this question. Where can we strengthen the body this week? The Spirit distributes sovereignty. Paul names all these gifts, right? Prophecy and all of these gifts. Beautiful gifts. Then this shows that the Spirit's work is diverse. The church is diverse. But Paul's emphasis is not simply, here is the list. The emphasis is in verse 11. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who are portions to each one individually as he wills. You see, church, it's the Spirit that gives, it's the Spirit that empowers, it's the Spirit that distributes, but as he wills. As he wills. That means we cannot boast about what we have. We cannot. We cannot say, I earned what I have. You know, I hear people, I worked hard. And I say, yo, my brother. If there was no energy, I wonder. Because there are people out there when their enemy locks their energy.
Yeah.
And they're sick and they cannot move. But they want. So we do not earn this at all. We do not buy it. Like Simon was trying to buy. We do not own, we do not originate the things that God has given us. We are just stewards of what was given to us. We're just stewards, church. And so Paul is helping us see those two images. He's helping us see humility and boldness in the same time. And this text. In humility, he said to us, do not boast of what you have received. Paul says, I'm not boasting. I have a thorn in my flesh. I could go to my lips of the lips of the spiritual youth, and I could have such visions, but I don't boast. But what I have, I've given to the church. So Paul is pointing us to not boast about this. Do not use the gifts that God has given you to control people. Or to create a following around yourself. Or to place yourself at a pedestal and say, hey, look at me. Hey, I made it. The gift belongs to church. And with humility and with boldness, he's calling us to something. To us who feel intimidated, who feel like we don't match up to the path. And he says to us, do not bury what God has given you. Because you are afraid or you feel inadequate. The power, remember this, the power is not for you. It's the Spirit that works as he wills. And there's a call here, family, that as the Spirit works as he wills, is that for us to not stop the Spirit from working as he wills. Church, again, can we see something here? That we are not poor as a church? That God has given us so much provision? He's given us the Holy Spirit? He's joined us through Jesus Christ. And something else beautiful is giving us each other. And this is what Paul is calling us to. He's like, yes, we are praying. Yes, it's Jesus. But we have each other. We have each other as a church. And we can hold each other and travail on the storms. Hallelujah. Is this helpful, church?
Yes.
Church, my last point, as I close, diversity belongs within unity. And so Paul is calling us back, he's saying again, it still is within unity. It's diverse, but there's a centrality. And Paul's argument here says, in verse 12, For just as the body is one and has many members, so it is with Christ. Meaning that the church is one body with many members. Verse 12, verse 15 tells us why. It says, in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. In one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Greek, whether you're a Zulu, whether you're Afrikaans, Hausa, Portuguese, Italian, slave, free, whatever it is, you are baptized into one body by one spirit.
Amen.
And that's what is doing in us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What is being said here at church is that Jesus is Lord. Through his death and his resurrection, he saves people and he makes them his own. Not your own, his own. By the Spirit, he joins us all into one. We do not first create this unity, church. We receive it. We don't create it. Then we are called to live like it's true. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Church, we can pray again. Lord, raise my faith in the world that I live in. While God is saying, I have placed you in a family. To serve one another, to carry one another, to pray for one another, to give one another, to encourage each other. But this does not mean that we need to be irresponsible.
Yes.
It also does not say that we will not have trials or tribulations. But what Paul is saying is, God made us his people. His Spirit is solid. And no one in his church should suffer alone. No one in his church should suffer alone. No one in the Lord's church should be ignored who is in need. No one in the church should be treated as useless. The body of Christ is called to care. The body of Christ is called to Amen.
Amen.
Church, the Spirit has not given you a mere gift to elevate yourself. He has given it for the common good of the body. So I leave you with the question today. Who can you serve in the body of Christ? Who can you serve? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are Lord alone. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We come to you in the end. And we say, Lord, forgive us where we have made ministry, where we have made our gifts, where we have made what you have given us about ourselves. Where we have compared, where we have competed, where we have withdrawn, where we have withheld what you have given us. Thank you for your Spirit and your gifts that you give to the church. Show each and one and every one of us where we belong and who we can serve. Make us one body that reflects your love, carries one another's burdens, and brings glory to your name.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.